Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
The following is a presentation of the 4Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, complete with child, this is 4Center. I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and I'm excited to have a special talk about a special look.
This is a special look at The Mandalorian Season 2, the one-minute special look TV spot halftime trailer extravaganza that the world was waiting for. And look, I'll start, Joseph, we have some great thoughts to get to. I'll just start here. this is not a trailer. This wasn't a trailer, but I don't recall anyone saying it was a trailer with the names Disney and or Lucasfilm on their business cards.
Yeah.
Special look was the word used.
A special look was the term used. And I think what was not said on purpose was trailer, right? Because I think what they wanted to say is, we don't want to say commercial because then people won't tune in and think it's a big deal. But it's not quite a new trailer either. So you know what it is? It's a special look. Welcome to marketing.
It was a special look indeed. You know, for what it was, 1 minute of fun. A lot of stuff, actually, I think, to discuss, Joseph. So let's dive in, man.
Yeah. No, I think it was for a special look, not more than a commercial, less than a trailer. It was really fascinating. I just wanted to start by talking big picture, and I'll just throw it out there what my gut reaction was. We had a ton of fun when that first Mandalorian trailer came out, really diving into kind of what it meant and what it was structured around. And I felt that first one was so much about what is the connection between the Mando and the child, and what is the cost of violence? You got that super funny joke of the child closing the pram and just literally being in the darkness surrounded by violence. And it was funny, but it's also that question of what is it going to do to the child? So I was really curious for something called a special look, like what would be the big picture thematic idea? And I felt like the big picture thematic idea was this is a fun adventure show too. And a lot of people are gonna, you know, crash and shoot and do stuff. I thought it was so clearly and really brilliantly a commercial, a special look, a trailer that reminded you this is fun and action oriented. It makes perfect sense for a general audience, and it made perfect sense for a football audience. I don't mean anything negative to that generalization. Mm-hmm. It just felt like, hey, we got some dialogue right at the top that establishes Mando is going to talk to his buddies because he's got a mission. He's going to keep track of this kid. He's going to find some other Mandos to keep this kid safe, to take this kid back to its kind. And what's going to happen then? Then these people are going to team up and they're going to kick some butt. And all those people, you probably know them from like action movies. It's Carl Weathers, and you probably know her from her fighting career. It's Gina Carano. These people are going to get together and they're going to kick some ass for this kid that's not as important in this trailer as he is in the other one, you know?
Yeah. Look, you coined the phrase the cost of the way the last time, and I think that is on display here, and I love that you said that. It is just makes a lot of sense. Season one, this is the way. Now the cost of the way, and the cost of the way is fun. Adventure with some violence and some woos. We need woos.
And we did. We got a straight up woo.
Star Wars woo.
We crushed a biker scout. Woo.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. Oh, I don't know if I like that.
Is that an acceptable woo to you, to crush a biker scout against a rock wall at high speeds?
I mean, look, we're not yet at predictions, right? I don't know if we're going to do predictions episode, but I'll make that is Jason Sudeikis, right? That's got to be Jason Sudeikis. Maybe Adam Pally, but definitely Sudeikis.
Oh, yeah. This is really, the second season is about vengeance, right? Vengeance. The cost of the way for you, Jason Sudeikis trooper. Yeah.
You just didn't see the child looking out the window of that transport going, yeah, got it.
Yeah, because where is the child? There's a lot of not child in this trailer and in that whole sequence. What was your, any other thoughts on like just the big picture of kind of what this was and what it communicated?
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. The big picture, I definitely want to get to the micro level of it here, but this just straight up saying, I need to find more Mandalorians.
Yeah.
And what that means, that's going to probably be the bulk of what we talk about here. But I was like, okay, cool. That is a thesis statement for the essay we're about to read here. I need to go find more Mandalorians. They can help me.
Yeah.
And that just spun my brain off into a lot of different possibilities.
No, I agree with you. That was, I think, to me, the single biggest new piece of information. So I think we should definitely reserve some time in our breakdown to talk about that. But let's go through some of the beats, and we're not going to super go frame by frame. I only Zapruder filmed one part of this to try to figure something out.
Which part? Or is that a big reveal later?
No, I was trying to see if that character in the vehicle with Cara Dune and Greef Karga was the unidentified Mithril from the first episode, the first chapter.
I believe so, right? I think I did a little of that too.
It looks very similar ears, similar coloring. I looked up the character because, you know, some names are trickling in from weird places and things that didn't have a name when The Mandalorian was first streamed, season one. And Wikipedia has him as unidentified Mithril.
There you go.
I'm going to just call him Mr. Vactube. I think I saw Mr. Vactube again.
I think so too. I've got the freeze frame up right now as we're recording, and I would say so. Yeah, I did not do that one. I looked to make sure that was the skeleton of a bantha.
I did look at the bantha skeleton too. That was great. Were you thinking it was going to be another kind of skeleton?
Yeah, you know what? I thought we might just go straight to a crap dragon or everything, but I would put the money on bantha. We got the bantha horns. I guess they're it looked pretty good. So
yep,
yeah.
Final confirmation that banthas are not immortal. Sad, but perhaps necessary to the story of Star Wars. So let's just start right away at the beginning. We get that shot that we've seen before, which is honestly one of my favorite shots. So beautiful, of the Razor Crest in my beloved X-Wing zipping through those beautiful clouds. But we get the X-Wing, a pilot from the X-Wing, I would assume, saying Razor Crest, stand down. And so there's been some back and forth from the clips we've seen about, you know, is this going to be a conflict? Is it going to start as a conflict and end as a buddy picture? Who knows? But I was interested. There can always be deception in the way things are cut together. But it made me interested to see if that interaction with the X-Wings is cut together with what now appears to be a crash of the Razor Crest on that icy planet and a need to repair. What did you think of all that? Did you think that was all those images and ideas were connected, or do you think that's a deceptive splicing?
I mean, if just on this alone, I was like, oh yeah, God, they're chasing them, everything. But yeah, going to the previous trailer, which I did watch again tonight, I mean, I definitely got the sense of teamwork. So I am keeping a distance of a solid prediction here because I think there might be some trailer chicanery, but the crash, we know 100% certain, and someone's telling them to stand down and someone ain't happy. And it goes back to your topic sentence of the cost of all of this and the cost of violence. We've seen two trailers, and both times Razor Crest not doing so good.
Nope. This is the cost of the way indeed. You know what? My mind went on this when I was thinking about even the possibility. And again, it could be, as you just said, trailer chicanery. If the X-Wings are protecting that icy planet, for you, does that make you think more that it could be Ilum or Lest? Do you think the New Republic at this time, a couple years out from Return of the Jedi, reclaiming the galaxy, do you think Luke said to his sister, fellow Jedi and leader, you know, we should really make sure Ilum's left alone and there's some, you know, X-Wings patrolling?
I got to say, this makes me think less. That crash, that leak. And, you know, then you get into the weeds of when do they really know about Ilum and when was it a kind of erased from the archives, or, you know, Theonon regions, all that stuff. And I could see exactly what you're saying. I kind of want at some point Luke to be like, there's a thing we got to be worried about over there. And I think the Empire might have already been on it. In fact, oh, look at this. My friend Cal Kestis, who I just met, said,
I found his grave and his the holocron he left behind.
Yeah. Oh, we're getting wonderfully dark here tonight.
That's a different prediction. Third video game. I'm sorry. Third video game. Poor Cal is going to. Anyway. Noble sacrifice.
You get to control Marin crying for 20 minutes. Yeah, but that crash, that ice, that lake.
I thought you meant Mark Marin for a second. Anyway, well, it's a hell of a thing to record at night, isn't it?
It is after a long day. But that, anyways, yeah, I am hoping for Ilum some point in Star Wars storytelling, less and less thinking it's here.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you after actually hearing myself spiral out on the storytelling of Ilum. There's more than one ice planet in Star Wars and more than one ice planet that could possibly have something, you know, related to the Jedi or the Force, or maybe even we're going to see those fabled snow Mandalorians that I've always dreamt of. Who knows? But
Snowdalorians?
Snowdalorians, okay. Yeah. But I'm still excited about the X-Wing. I can't wait for the context of that. Regardless of that, I kind of don't care. Any prediction, right, wrong, or otherwise, I love the New Republic having a presence, and I love it either being you know, a ally or a threat to Mando, because I just like the New Republic being a presence that does have power, and you got to worry when those X-Wings are on your tail. So
I don't think that's a small thing that they're in this story. We keep talking about, does the story grow big enough to where some names, whether or not we see these characters or not, some of these names of leadership in the New Republic have to know. I think it's a pretty big thing that X-Wings aren't just a bunch of directors flying. Well, maybe Bryce Dallas Howard is piloting with X-Wings, and I actually would want that. But you know what I mean? Like, that's not small that there's X-Wings involved.
No, not at all. I love the way they're used in season one, and I'm so happy to see them back in season two, because it broadens the storytelling in a way I really like. Wherever the Mando has to go, he still has to deal with the legitimate government that's trying their best. Anyway. I'm going to get off my New Republic soapbox and move back to our special look. Then we got images we've seen before, but a little bit more detail of Mando on what we presume is Nevarro, and saying, greeting Cara Dune and Greef Karga, saying, I'm here on business. I need your help. I've been quested to bring this one back to its kind. Now, before we dive into the details, I'm going to ask you again, trailer chicanery? Do you think this is actually dialogue to Cara Dune and Greef Karga?
This is me needing to watch episode 8 again. Are they, they're either not aware of that mission, right? And they weren't there when the armorer said that, or they were, and I just can't remember. I honestly can't remember. I thought it was cut over this scene. I didn't see it as that.
Yeah, it felt a little off to this scene. It felt more like the trailer has two things to do. One, just make a really clear thesis statement of, hey, are you not a super intense Star Wars fan? Here's the basic reminder. Hey, the Mando got this child, this baby Yoda, and now he needs help. He's on a quest to return him to its kind. And here are his pals, Cara and Greef. And I think those could be two different idea points that were smashed together in this trailer for time and excitement.
Completely right, yeah.
But what do you make of that? Just hearing the dialogue, I guess... either one, either the dialogue or the greeting of Cara and Greef, which one excites you more? That this dialogue, I've been quested to bring this one back to its kind, regardless of who he's saying it to, or are you more kind of fascinated by Mando reconnecting with Cara and Greef?
I am excited for the reconnection. Still like the characters. Love Carl Weathers. You know, want to see him and getting to see him in action in the gun turret. That's just going to be cool and everything. But I am just really intrigued by him. The way he said that, again, who he says that is probably key, but like that's not an easy thing for the Mando to say, because this is his child now, so to speak. Is he prepared to give it up? What on the journey, you know, would make him change his mind? Or, you know, this isn't a great, cool, here, have fun. I'm back to my regular life if he meets a bunch of Mandalorians or a Jedi. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And so that is his mission. But what is that mission going to do to him and their relationship is one of the things we keep going back to. So that's why I was really intrigued by the delivery of that line.
Yeah. And I'm really intrigued by him just phrasing it that way. A, it's just like a straight up, like, wow, talk about romance versus realism in Star Wars. This is just like what a character would say in Dungeons and Dragons. This is what an NPC would say in a relatively early like fantasy video game of like, this is my quest. This is straight up what I'm doing. But it also implies like in chapter 8, when the armorer kind of gives him the assignment, it feels to me like she's validating him of like, hey, you're already on this path because of your choices. So I'm validating as your sort of cultural leader that you're on the right path. Keep going. But to phrase it this way, absolves him of responsibility and absolves him of choice. He's just saying, I've been told to do this, which to me just kind of hints at a little bit of conflict about whether or not how he actually feels about being on this quest.
Yes. And I know we're breaking down a line from a TV spot that could be over any image, but that you just touched upon something. The way he's saying it is like, he doesn't either. I don't know. I don't know if he does. He's not happy about it. He's not whatever. It's my job. I'm not saying that, but just like there's some, conflict. I can't think of a different word than that. Just, tension to the idea, tension with the idea.
No, I just think it's like, I just am really excited that that might be a vibe of this season and a vibe of this continuing relationship, that he truly does love the child, but it also changes his identity and he's just not sure about it all. So there's this slight resentment. I think it feels like an 80s comedy where, like, you know, an action hero gets assigned to protect an 8-year-old. And at first they're like, cramping my style. I don't want to do this, but I do love you. But, you know.
Exactly like that.
Exactly. The other thing I loved about this line is, I'm here on business. I need your help. When have we ever seen the Mando go anywhere that was not on business?
That's true. Yeah. I want an episode of Mando just at a space casino, just having drinks and gambling.
I feel like the only time we've ever seen him just chill a little bit was on the mission where he met Cara Dune, where they chilled there for a while in the village. So that made me interested of, like, is that who he's talking to? Yeah. Very interested in that. Then we see some other shots, one of which included the Bantha skeleton, which is just fun. Do you have anything else to share about the Bantha skeleton?
I mean, in terms of predicting planets, I am excited by the possibility of Tatooine. By possibility, I mean, all signs indicate this is not Papooine, this is Tatooine. I don't know. I like Tatooine, man. And episode 5 has grown on me since it first showed up, for a lot of what it did for Tatooine in this place we love, and a good use of it. And to go back, and yes, there's rumors of, you know, who's there. I'm not even concerned about that. I just like this planet, and the possibilities of this planet are endless, because it's a dirty, grimy underworld.
Yeah. I think that's all great. I think for me, I just had the really surface level visceral. That's cool, because we know from behind the scenes how many people working on this are people who grew up with the original trilogy. I mean, some people obviously who loved the original trilogy, maybe didn't grow up on it, but other people who like worked on it. In seeing a Bantha skeleton just has that feel that somebody involved went, I always saw that crate dragon and I always wondered, did the Bantha skeletons just lie there in the sand? Cool, right. Let's put that in. So I just got the, you know, great thrill from that, just surface level fun of digging into Star Wars and showing us some things that are very familiar but also totally new.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like me some Banthas. I don't want one to die, but it's part of the landscape and I like that.
Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna guess that it was not just recently killed, but who knows?
No?
You never know.
How do animals die?
Yeah, hopefully there was not some horrible, you know, organic machine. Anyway, you know what I mean. Let's move on to, I think, as you pointed out, the key quote of the special look. If I can locate other Mandalorians, they can guide me. So I just want to kick it off with this. I had a kind of a shocked reaction to that. I was kind of happy to hear that line because it almost felt like Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni staring out from my television saying, Joseph, remember, it's not all about the Jedi. The first episode is not, he's going to find Ahsoka, and then he's going to go find, you know what, Cal Kestis did survive. You know what, oh, here's Ezra. Oh, here's Luke Scott. You know, like, it was, yeah. We've all been so excited about the Force users he might encounter and the Jedi temples he might go to, and I still think that might be a part of this season. But this was like really resetting the stakes of like, he's laying a path towards finding where the child is from. And the first path is finding other Mandalorians. So let's take a deep breath about the sheer volume of Force user Jedi content.
Look, the first trailer, you know, the VO and whoever Sasha Banks is playing and it connects up there. I mean, it's very mystical, that first trailer. So I know you love the Jedi. Don't, you don't need to beat yourself up too bad. some use of this, and then with the child himself, but yeah, a great line. I love that line. And outside of beyond rumors of cast and characters, again, like we said up top, this is just a really interesting challenge to him and what's already happened in the series.
Yeah. What kind of storytelling or what kind of ideas did it pop into your mind? Is that why it excited you, that you thought about, like, ooh, I didn't really think he was going to do that, so where would that go?
this idea that this Mudhorn clan that's now been formed, that is basically him and the child and I guess whoever else, and it, you don't have to be, you know, from Mandalore. We now know that that's this side of canon. We know George's Clone Wars version that Filoni built out. And that's where I'm interested. So if he does run into, and all right, you know, the rumors of Bo-Katan, Bo-Katan shows up. She's someone not worried about keeping the mask on or off when unless she's fighting. She is steeped in not just Mandalorian culture, but legacy and name. And if it's her or anyone else, it doesn't matter. Anyone else that he runs into in the greater galaxy that isn't, anyone from the clans that he was, working with already or that we've already seen on the show. What is their way? And what is his way? And are we going to have those? Hey, we all know you had this canon question last year of whose masks stay on or not. But are we going to have a big, is that going to be a part of it? Not that they're going to sit around and go, why do you take your mask off? Or why don't you? But you know what I mean? Like the themes of Mandalorians coming together. Can they work together? Can they form a new way? Is Bo-Katan trying to unite many divided and scattered remnants of the Mandalorian people? That's the kind of stuff that excites me.
Yeah, no, I think that's all great. And I totally agree. And I think, you know, I can almost picture a scene where he finds Bo-Katan. She makes great sense as a person to find because she not only knows the history of Mandalore and can give us some of those kind of canon answers, but she also, she's met plenty of Jedi and she might have a line on what that's all about for our Mando. So that all makes sense. But as you were talking and saying, yeah, she's not going to just lay it all out. I'm like, well, much like Moff Gideon, maybe she does. Maybe Mando finds her. She takes off the helmet. We get the cool reveal. It's Bo-Katan. And then she waits for him to take his helmet off and he just doesn't. And she's just like, fundamentalist. Like, it could be that simple, right? That you just get that tip of the iceberg nod of like, Even Bo-Katan, who has been part of Death Watch and all of these things, like that's your way. I know that little, you know, covert you got going. This is the way. Got it. But that's not my way right now, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, no, that you're right. That could, she could pull off her mask. It could be Katie Sackhoff going, "You are Din Djarin. I am Bo-Katan. Cries. Here's my belief." This is an E-Web repeating blast.
You never know. You never know. Yeah. So once I got past the reminder that this is not going to go from zero to Jedi necessarily right away, that there's be this other step in between that's his approach, which is great. I'm excited by. I got really excited about all that Mandalorian storytelling because you and I have talked a lot about that we want all of these Mandalorian stories to emerge so that we really understand the broader scope of Mandalorian history during the Imperial reign, and that so that we really understand what it means to the Mando. And that made me think that this season, in terms of what it's about for the Mandalorian, if he's looking first for other Mandalorians, which we've been told are very few and scattered, and if they pop their head out of the ground, they risk being slaughtered by Imperial remnants, that means that the Mando is confronting his own culture and his own past, finding other Mandalorians, and maybe they have a different way. Maybe they have the same way. Maybe we learn that they all went into this much more traditional, you don't take your helmet off way. But also that means he's pretty directly has to confront the trauma of whatever exactly the Empire did to Mandalore and the Mandalorians. And we know that there was some stuff that happened right there at the end of the Clone Wars, which wasn't great. But again, because there seems to be a lot of confusion about this point, we know that we caught up with the Mandalorians in Rebels getting ready to rise up against the Empire. And then something crushing and awful happened, and we only have hints at it. And this feels like if he has to go find other Mandalorians, probably by the act of just finding them, he's putting them at risk, right? And what is that going to tell us about the trauma of what has done to been done to them?
Well, I would, gosh, as you're talking, it's, and this is just wild, just shot in the dark, but just like, hey, you know, what if he shows up and it's like, cool, where were you? Where was your clan? Oh, your armor seems pretty cool with a hammer. She can beat stormtroopers. Where was she when we were being crushed, or was she scattered too? And well, how come you didn't stick around? There could be tension, you know, and I want there to be some sort of tension. We're joking about the helmets, but that's a good starting point of if the Darksaber's there, you know, Gideon's got the Darksaber. What does Darksaber represent? It's beyond just the sword and the stone. You don't pull it out and you're automatically the leader. You have to earn it. It's how you use it. You could use the Darksaber to unite, or you could use it to divide and destroy as Maul did or as others wanted to do. So if that's in play too, what are you going to do with that? Or what are you going to do? Is Bo-Katan rallying the troops and having problems? And is this one of them? I don't necessarily think she's going to point a finger. Again, we're assuming this is, I do not know that this character showing up, but it doesn't matter. Any other character shows up, you know, Todd Vizsla, Favreau voicing his third Vizsla member, puts a finger in his chest and says, who you on? Who you fighting? Your mission doesn't matter. Or the kid is a powerful weapon. It's the ring. It's Faramir and Boromir saying, "Give it to us. Give it to Gondor. We could use this, and we could rise up. We could unite." Yeah, that's big. That's giant. I don't necessarily think the show yet is going to build to that. But you know, that kind of idea. That's what excited me. That one line, man, excites me. Of a lot of possibility of Mando on Mando debate.
Yeah, Mando philosophy. I think that's what this action-packed commercial during Monday Night Football was implying. Mando philosophy talks. But yeah, I'm as you're talking, I'm really thinking about maybe you're right. I think this is what you're saying is there could be some great philosophy that the armor was really like, we have to, you know, go underground to live. Like, we'll send Din Djarin out. He is one of the best of us. So he's, you know, he's hunting and he's, you know, basically keeping us all. He's providing for us. And maybe Bo-Katan or someone else is really more like, no, I'm going around the galaxy gathering up our forces and we are Mandalore and we're going to fight back. And yeah, that'd be really fascinating. My last thought on this is, if I can locate other Mandalorians, they can guide me. Is there a possibility that means Boba Fett counts? Is one of the Mandalorians he's going to find Boba Fett?
Now, see, you're you're bringing another dog to this fight, and I love you for it. Now, directly addressing these rumors again, you and I've talked about it. I'm sure we're not done talking about it if we start getting ready for the season, which is again only a week or so away here, of what they could really do. I'm excited about just what they did with the Tusken Raiders in one scene in episode 5. Recontextualize, give us some depth, change the story, change the narrative a little bit. To do that with Boba Fett, you and I think are both mutually excited about this idea of does Boba Fett, if he's there, find some sort of redemption? Is he against Din Djarin? Is he find redemption? And man, show me the way, because I'd like to be something better than I am. Because who I was before, though it started with trauma, I ended up in the bottom of a Sarlacc pit. And even though I escaped, I don't want to be there again. Like, is that, and then if Bo-Katan shows up, anyone from Mandalore proper shows up and is like, oh, you're Boba Fett? No. You ain't one of us.
Yeah. I love that, because if there's any possibility, and this is, I'm having a great time with this, just being like, kids on the playground or when I was in my 20s, nerds at the bar, just going, what if? There's a great.
Is Nerds at the Bar the sketch comedy show Comedy Central never aired but should have?
They really should have. I tried to sell it to them in a roundabout way. That's another story. Anyway, if the Mando gets a lead and somebody says, I know where Mandalorian is, and he finds broken down, no armor Boba Fett, and he's like, this guy, wait, Boba Fett, this guy is not a Mandalorian. He never was. And you know, what if Boba Fett's perspective is, yeah, I was, my father took the armor, you know, he had it by right. You know, it's a creed. I think I followed the creed. Like, that would be fascinating. And I'm just so hopeful that if we get Boba Fett, not only are we going to get the juicy character stuff, but the true perspective on, does Boba Fett consider himself a Mandalorian? And what are those rules?
Yeah. And if Din is like, yeah, I need to get this little baby to his kind. I guess he's a Jedi. Have you heard of that? And Boba Fett's like, have I heard of Jedi?
And flashback to his father's head.
Yeah, you and I are pitching a lot of great scenes in a dark lit cantina where a lot of like talking head scenes, a lot of we need to figure this out. It's Pacino, De Niro, and Heat that we got going on.
I'm very excited. Very excited for this. All right. Should we move on from the Mandalorian speculation?
Yes.
Yeah. To the Mandalorian special look speculation. I was really just kind of fascinated that we got a little recut of the gladiator scene, but skipping the cute baby Yoda joke, which is another thing that made me feel like this trailer is just it's for action. It's for fast moving. Let's get our foot on the gas and let's show people this is going to be action adventure Star Wars 2.
Yes. I'm looking at the freeze frame of that too right now. Yeah, it was a little different.
It skipped that, you know, great joke. But on one hand, like, great, you already played the joke and you don't want to be the comedian who's saying it again louder, you know, because people didn't laugh enough the first time, you know, by playing it in the second trailer. But it also just feels like that's not what this trailer is for. You know, there isn't a lot cute in this trailer. This trailer is about kicking butt.
Yeah.
And then we go to kicking butt. We see a little bit more of the biker scout chase. We see Cara Dune, Greef Karga, and we believe unidentified Mithril. In a cool cargo thing, they do some smashing of the biker scout, cuts back and forth with them, maybe infiltrating a base. Maybe it's the same scene. Maybe it's trailer chicanery. Did you get any thoughts on sort of like what this mission is? You know, is it rescuing the child? Is it getting if they've lost the child? Is it because he's not in these scenes? Is it, you know, getting Imperial data on where Mandalorians or Jedi might be? Is it that Bo-Katan is in Imperial custody because that's, you know, she lost probably, we think, maybe to Moff Gideon. So she's got, he's got her under lock and key. Do you have any speculations along those lines?
Ooh, you're saying some things I like there. My initial thought was that they need Horatio Sanz, the Mithril here, that he's got some sort of information. We never really knew who he was. There wasn't a point to that. It was an opening sequence. It was exposition and kind of setting the tone for what the Mando was doing on a day-to-day basis. We get it. And it was a great way to reference Life Day. But now you can add something to the story. So maybe he does know a little bit more. Maybe he's aware of some things. So maybe it's an information thing. But the idea of busting out Bo-Katan or anyone or any Mandalorian that they need for the mission is exciting to me. It looks like a bust out. I like that idea. I like it's a big sequence for this show. What do we get? Episode 3, we had the big fight with the Mandos coming out from the sewer, so to speak. That was kind of the biggest sequence in the show, other than things on a smaller scale. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And then the big standoff in Chapter 7, Chapter 8, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but even that one was shot, it was close, you know? It was, yeah. So this looks a lot bigger. And look, we're already seeing the volume is allowing them to do things that they maybe even couldn't do in Season 1. So, yeah, big bust out sequence. I'll take that.
Yeah, that would be fun. I think that would be really interesting. You got to kick ass to get some information or to free your friends or both. How much are you feeling that some of these scenes are in early episodes? Because, you know, I look at this and I could go, wow, that going and getting grief in Kara and having this adventure, maybe that's chapter one, you know?
I kind of tend to agree with you. I think you and I are both hesitant to really, we're not known for just laying down a bunch of predictions, right? But we try to track the themes and everything. And Season 1 was just so slow roasting, right? It took its time, and I would still like to see that. But beginning Episode 1, starting big, especially if we're close after the events of Season 1, I wouldn't mind going that way, then slowing down a bit and picking up in the end. So I could see a big sequence at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see them starting with a bang. That just kind of makes sense. Yeah. Like, welcome back.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense for a TV show. Now, story wise, if they're leaving Navarro and he has to turn right back around and grab Grief and Cardoon.
Yeah.
Either one works for me.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Can't wait to see. Just a couple more shots, really. We get just more of that action spliced together. We see a cool shot of TIE fighters, and then we end with, again, a special look that really wants to remind you this is action-packed adventure. A Mandalorian blasting across the sky in a jetpack. It really says forward movement and action. Did you get anything new out of those scenes or any different thrill out of a full jetpack Mando?
Well, I'll tell you, it's one of the other things I kind of want to talk about, that moment. It's the music underneath it that really just got me excited. I oddly enough, and I've said this before, I just have I'm an anti-jetpack guy. I don't like playing them. I don't like them in G.I. Joe. I don't like them in my Star Wars too much. I don't like them in Battlefront 2. I'm not good at playing those characters, but I'm fine with the Mandalorians having them. It was kind of built into it. You know, I was raised with Boba Fett having a jetpack. But that whole sequence is exciting. The music, not surprising, spectacular. Already you got the feel that these are classic themes and we're hearing brand new, bigger versions of them. And that scene, the jetpack scene, got me excited.
Yeah, I think there's something about it. Just, you're right, the music, and it's just such a great visual way to say, hey, the Mandalorian's back. And honestly, literally better than ever because he leveled up and he got a jetpack. But there's also just, I think, the feeling that I get when I picture the Mando, and he seems so confident and so like raring with that jetpack. And it makes me think of lots of images of Season 1 of him kind of trundling along, of him, you know, he's on a speeder every once in a while, but a lot of times his ship is broken. A lot of times he actually does just have to walk somewhere really far. And it's just got this great actual Like we know that a natural evolution of a story is characters sort of ascending and becoming more powerful. And it, there's just something kind of thrilling about that on a thematic level, to just see that visually realized of he is becoming more a Mandalorian, more of who he's meant to be eventually. And he literally has more power and he's literally not stuck to the earth anymore. He's zipping around.
Mm. Yeah, that's Soren. Your description and his and Ludwig's music, we got a big sequence.
We're cooking. Yeah, so then the only other thing that I really pulled out from the trailer is that the text is pretty straightforward that pops on the screen that says the next chapter begins. It's, you know, the next chapter separated and then begins. And I thought that was nice because, again, I think this special look was really about more casual Star Wars fans, general audience in general, saying, hey, remember, keep your Disney Plus subscription or renew it. And I think just the next chapter begins is just a great way to say, hey, there's more to see before and after this. You know, if you haven't seen the first season, if you want to rewatch it, remember, this isn't the first chapter. But it's also not saying, you know, the story concludes or just the next chapter. That phrase really to me is like, hey, remember, this is going to be with us for a little while.
Yeah, it's your Star Wars for a bit, and it's comforting.
Yeah, yeah, this is your Star Wars, kids. That could have said that too.
Yeah,
this is your Star Wars, kids. You have any other thoughts on the special look?
I did want to mention the music. We did. I just loved it. To put a final thought on it for me with the music, it some of the tones, and you know, and again, I don't know what's going to appear in the show under which scenes and whatnot, but it's so I just love this. You and I talk about music a lot too, of just like you hear a great band and then their second or third or next album, doesn't matter which, comes out and you're like, I don't know, it's not as good as the last one. And then a year later, you're like, that second one is amazing. It's Ludwig Göransson shows up season one. The music is immediately Star Wars, but something entirely new. I think a lot of people just fall in love with the score and the music you put out there. But now it's already there and it already feels timeless. It really does to me. And to hear remixes in this, it was similar to in Rise of Skywalker towards the end with kind of, I call it the rock and raise theme. Like that's just the big Trans-Siberian Orchestra version of Ray's theme during the fight. I really love that. And I loved hearing that here. And I just want to highlight that again.
No, I'm right there with you. I agree with you about Rey's theme that you first hear it in The Force Awakens. It's so haunting. And then you get to the third one and you could have never really imagined rewatch the first one. Like, that's going to be the ass kicking music. But it works really well. And I think the same thing is applying here to Ludwig Göransson's score, that it did such a great job just being iconic and utterly recognizable. So you just... You know, yeah. I think it's going to be that kind of thing where, you know, when we're all out in the world more and, you know, someday I'm just going to be walking through a mall and that's going to come on is the music, you know, in a mall. And I'm going to want to drop everything I'm doing and pretend to be the Mandalorian. Right. It's just that music is just like Mandalorian. Now he's going to kick ass, you know.
You ain't lying, man, because, you know, episode one, he walks in and doo-doo-doo-doo. I'm doing that with that whistle bad. But then to hear it here, it's like gong-gong, gong-gong. I'm like, oh, yeah, Mando's here. It works, man. It works.
Yeah, yeah. So this whole special look, you know, I really wasn't sure if I wanted any more content. I am glad that it didn't give a ton more away because I like to go in without knowing a bunch. But it really worked. It got me really, really pumped. And I feel like it pointed us in some interesting directions, storyline-wise, thematically. But also was just that great reminder that there's all of these different parts of Star Wars to love. And a part of it is just the fun, bizarre, really unique aesthetic in the action adventure. And it just made me really extra pumped for the next chapter.
Yeah, no, and not a ton of Baby Yoda, but what we got of the child, really good, really good. Got some good ear movements. I like it.
It was high quality, the little bit of ear time we had with the child. So that's it. That's what I got.
Yeah, no, that's what I got too. A lot of fun. And hey, look, I don't care if it's a minute. I actually love that it's a minute. I think you and I are on the same page. Love that there's a lot of things. There was no big reveals, no big answers, just themes, statements, and a lot of wondering. And that's what I love, because I want to sit down for the first time next week and just have it all roll out in front of me for the first time. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't want to be able to put all the pieces together. So you're like, I think I know that he's going to go to that ice planet in chapter 6. And I like that, you know, we got enough for you and I to talk for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But we still have plenty to wonder about as well.
And isn't it nice to just, when you can kind of feel all of the Star Wars fandom sitting down on the couch to watch a Cowboy Cardinal game to get to this, you know, you just kind of, I love that kind of connective energy. Just we're all kind of, hey, this is exciting. You know, that's why I'm happy with it. Only a minute long. I didn't need to be, I didn't need it to be a second longer. I'm happy.
No, it was perfect. It was great.
It was indeed, and that is our special look at the special look of The Mandalorian. We are almost there, folks, and here on Force Center, we are going to be bringing back The Mandalorian Report and going into the episodes each week. We will probably be doing, I know we love to take our time here a little bit at Force Center, but I think, Joseph, we're going to work on the schedule and maybe have it out a little sooner so you all can ruminate with us each episode. But that's gonna be a lot of fun going beat by beat during this year, you know.
Yeah, I cannot wait to just dive into all of it, every single episode, and I think a lot of it will just be discussing the child's ears. So I'm looking forward to that. The Mandalorian Report and the child's ears.
The ear report indeed. Hey, if you're a longtime Force Center fan, you know where to find us, but we'll remind you anyways. Or maybe you're just discovering us because you're looking for insight into the special look you just saw. You're getting ready for The Mandalorian Season 2. We are Force Center. You can follow us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Use the hashtag Force Center to join the conversation. You can like us on Facebook, subscribe on YouTube, follow on Instagram, podcasts available in a lot of different spots, including now Amazon Music, if that's where you like to get your podcast. They're getting into that world now, because why not? You can get merch at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter, and you can support us directly on patreon.com/ForceCenter, or even through Anchor. You can support directly there too, but Patreon, the support there makes a lot of cool things happen, like new theme songs, special events, and more. And as we always say, hey, just tell a friend about Force Center too. That is a great way to support us as well. We got our own things as well. You can go to me at Ken Napsok or KenNapsok.com. Find information on shows, podcasts, and more. You can go to JosephScrimshaw.com as well for you. Joseph, never want to speak for you, but that is your website. You know?
That is true. You can speak for me. That is my website, JosephScrimshaw.com, for all my comedy adventures. And if you want to find me on Twitter and Instagram, that's at Joseph Scrimshaw as well.
Absolutely. That is it for now. We'll see you with some Star Wars news, deep dives, Clone Wars report. It's all here on Force Center. This is our way. We'll see you next time.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.